Some evacuees of Hurricane Harvey are starting to return home. Florida residents affected by Hurricane Irma are also eager to survey the damage to their houses and neighborhoods. And among the questions they and government officials will be asking is how to rebuild. My next guest believes that question is critical, both in the short term and for the long term. Chuck Redman is the founding director of ASU School of Sustainability and is part of a team working to help make cities more resilient to extreme weather events. And Chuck, first off, are you surprised by the amount of damage and the type of damage we've seen from Hurricanes Harvey and Irma?
What I want to point out is in each case, people are pointing to them and saying, this isn't normal. We need to start talking about the new normal. And the new normal is things happen. And things happen maybe differently than we've been expecting and more frequently than we've been expecting and at a greater scale than we've been expecting.
To that point, as cities like Houston and others along the Gulf Coast start to rebuild, how can they try to take that potential new normal into account? Are there things that they maybe could and should be doing as they're looking to rebuild those cities and towns?
One would really want to believe that these kind of events, and in many ways disasters, particularly for the people they affected, could be seen as opportunities. In many ways, people have to start again. They have to rebuild. Cities have to reinstall lots of infrastructure. People have to make decisions about whether it's worthwhile moving back into the same house. In particular, there's a big issue in Houston. I think people will end up sticking with the way they've always done things. And these are really opportunities. But in the moment they happen, people want to get back in their house. People want to do what they need to do to get back up and running. And to do that, you do the same old, same old. You know, we're not ready to make these things opportunities for becoming 21st century instead of restoring 19th and 20th century patterns and infrastructure.
Well, is there a way to move forward with some of that without, like, totally abandoning Houston, for example, or places like Lake Charles or some of the places along the Florida coast? I mean, can they be rebuilt in a 21st century way that accounts for some of these massive hurricanes that we may be seeing more and more of down the road?
Well, if I had a simple answer, I'm sure I would be down in Houston or Florida delivering it to the governors there. But I do have some ideas on this. And there are a couple things that I think we can take as principles to make our cities and coastlines more resilient to things that might happen. And one is just thinking it through. You know, what could happen? And if it did happen, what would I have to do? And I mean, the reality is that Harvey is probably going to cost $100 billion to put things back in the way they were. And I think we do have to ask the question whether every tract of land that was occupied should be reoccupied. I think we also need to invest in ways that say, well, how did nature get rid of this water? Could we build green infrastructure that mimics or, in fact, enhances natural flow patterns, that enhances permeable surface? I mean, the big problem with Houston, and it would be a problem with Phoenix if and when we do get these big storms, is we've built an impervious surface. Over 53% of the area of our city here is cement.
It seems like that might be a tough sell, though, to tell a city that, like Houston, that is sort of reeling from Hurricane Harvey and trying to put the pieces back together, hey, let's rebuild this city in a way that would be maybe a little safer if something like this were to happen again. But if it doesn't or doesn't happen for a while, it might be a little less convenient for those years until that happens again.
Mark, you've hit the nail on the head that we've got to get through the short term before we can get to the long term. And these are long-term ideas to make the world better. But we have to think this through. And I think a lot of these issues, narrower lanes or less parking lots, what are we going to do with that space? Well, maybe we'll make gardens and sidewalks and parks and, you know, and nice things in the short term.
It sounds like you're concerned that what's coming up along the Gulf Coast could be a missed opportunity, that people will try to build back what they had as opposed to what could maybe be a little bit better down the road.
That's the key. And who makes that decision? Obviously, civic leaders and citizens themselves. And that's not exactly what's on their mind. And that's why we have to do it when we're not in the middle of a disaster, because what's on your mind is getting back to normal. But I think time should be spent and energy invested, because The world's changing fast.
Given the speed with which things are changing, though, I'm wondering if it makes sense to make an investment right now in doing some of these things differently to build resiliency if in a year or 2 years or even 5 years, something infinitely better might come along and we'll wish that we would have done that instead of what we actually did.
My answer is that we do need to be forward thinking, but we can't be too dogmatic about forward thinking. We need to build a future that has an infrastructure that's more multifunctional, more flexible, more modular, more localized, things that would allow to do just what you said, that, you know, it's good for now, but in 5 or 10 years, we can build on it and change it.
You're not stuck with something.
You're not stuck. I mean, the difference is we build seawalls. You know, we build levees that get higher and higher and harder to move and less pleasant to live near. And we just get caught in this. We don't want to be there.
As we see more storms like Harvey, like Irma, as maybe the heat in Phoenix becomes more intense and maybe longer in duration, is it possible to build cities that are resilient to those kinds of increasing extreme weather events?
I'm an optimist, and unequivocally I'm going to say yes, but I'm not sure I have the key to that puzzle. I think we can do a lot, and I think with the heat issue, people have lived in hot places for a long time in the world, and we have a lot of advantages over those people. The floods are interesting. People avoid floods historically. I mean, that sort of what you do is get out of their way, and I think what we need to be thinking is not, well, we can't go back and live in New Orleans or Houston or something like that. That's not going to happen. But we need to develop a landscape that we can get out of the way more easily. I use the term safe to fail, which makes me uneasy because I don't like to think we want to build things to fail. But what it says is instead of building the levee so high that the water never overtops it, you recognize that never will always happen. And that you be ready both with a levee, but also with what happens after the levee is topped, if it is once in a while. And you make it not a disaster, but an inconvenience, and in fact, maybe one that helps you learn and do more interesting things.
Chuck Redman is the founding director of ASU School of Sustainability. Chuck, thanks a lot for coming in.
Sure enough, Mark.